Today's gospel is found in the first chapter of John, verses 6 to 8, and then skipping to verses 19 to 28 on page 862. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And then verse 19. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have a seat, please. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the third week of Advent, and we've explored the themes of these Advent words of hope and peace, and today, joy. Joy is doing what you love, right? But I'll take it further than that. Joy is doing what you were created to do. One of the greatest truths that we learn about ourselves way back in the beginning of the Bible is that we are created in the image of God. Male and female, Genesis says, that we are made in his image. And if you look at all the other creatures in the world, everything that God made, God is the creator. And the one thing unique about humans is that they too can create. We can make things. We can dream things. We can build things. And it's one of the greatest joys, I think, in life is being able to create something, isn't it? Whether it be baking, love that around this time of the year, some goodies, or cooking, or restoring a car, or building a building, or planting a garden, knitting a sweater, making a quilt, writing a song, or a poem, or a book. It's a joy to create. Over the weekend, Chris and I were able to attend the Phoenix Symphony performing Handel's Messiah. And I got to get this pulled up here. Hold on. It's an amazing thing what Handel did. He took texts from the Bible and he told this whole story of, it's not just about Jesus' birth, is it? It's about his entire life, the prophecies leading up to Jesus coming into the world, what he did in his ministry, his crucifixion, and his resurrection, and his coming again. All of this is part of the Messiah. It's the whole story of Christ's death and resurrection. And the astounding part of this is Handel composed the Messiah beginning on August 22nd, 1741, and he completed the entire work in 23 days. Talk about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. You know, Handel did in that piece what Advent does for us. He takes the prophecies of Isaiah and other prophets, and foretells the coming of the Messiah, culminating in the after the first 11 songs with the great song, "For unto us a child is born." In listening to Messiah this last weekend, I realized Handel expressed the great promises of Isaiah not only lyrically as you read them, but musically. Isaiah 40, 2-3 says this, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." Those words are sung in Messiah as a solo for the bass. And they're very eerie, foreboding. They're not a happy tune. They are a sad tune. They feel eerie, oppressive, and heavy. And then this. It goes on. It's so happy. It's such a turn of events that this darkness, this walking in the land of deep darkness, is this good news. For unto us a child is born, and that's joy. Joy foretold. Joy expressed musically in Handel's Messiah, that Handel was gifted to create this masterpiece. Jesus, the Messiah, is light. That's how John, the Gospel, describes him. The answer to all darkness, as we heard read. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came to witness and testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The world is a dark place. And this past year, for many people, probably all of us, it's come to look even darker, hasn't it? In gloomy times, the temptation is to trust anyone who offers a merest glimmer of hope and says, "Join the party, follow me, and everything will be great again." But the reality is, the sad reality is that life doesn't always simply get better and better. But there is a light which will never fail. And there is only one who can lead us out of the dark labyrinth of the world into the light of life. He's not interested, Jesus isn't, in making people religious. He has come to light up the darkness and demonstrate a new unselfish way of living. When Jesus came on the scene, one of his first events was showing up in his hometown in Nazareth, and he was asked to read the scriptures, and what he chose was what you heard today from Isaiah 61. It'll sound familiar to you because we talk about that quite a bit when we study Jesus' life and ministry. He stands in the synagogue and says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He ended there with the reading. He sat down, he finished, he sat down, and everyone was looking at him. You can imagine this pregnant pause of, what is he going to say now? Is he going to say anything? What's going to happen? And Jesus says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow, what? This scripture, Isaiah, from 800 years prior, is fulfilled today? Jesus is saying, the Messiah is here, and it's me, is what he's saying. It's a lot of good news. He's describing what he was doing and what he would do. That's joy full, joy to the fullest sense. And I would describe the words that Jesus read to the congregation, the synagogue, there, were not words that were sorrowful. He didn't read them in a sorrowful way, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," did he? They would be joyful. He would be joyful saying that he is the Messiah. And that's the reason why those people got mad and wanted to throw him off the cliff, which he escaped. Joy. Joy of being who you are, created to be as Jesus was. And also joy we see in John proclaiming the way or paving the way for Jesus to come. At first reading, you may not have heard the joy or seen the joy present in the passages, but there is joy in Isaiah and in John because the main event, Jesus, is about to arrive. It's the knowing that Jesus is about to arrive on the scene that gives John joy. He's asked, "Are you the Messiah?" "I'm not the Messiah," he says. "Are you Elijah or a prophet?" "No, I'm not that." The prophet is from Deuteronomy 18, where the prophecy is that the Lord will raise up among you a prophet and among the fellow Israelites, and you must listen to him. It says, "I will raise him up for them a prophet like you from among your fellow Israelites and put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command them." When asked, "Are you this guy?" John says, "No. Who are you?" He says, "I'm a voice. I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Now, that's a little different than what Isaiah says. If you recall, Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 3, "A voice cries out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" When John's asked, "Why are you baptizing if you're none of these people?" he says, "I baptize with water because among you stands one coming after me who's so mighty, so amazing, that I'm not even worthy to put on his sandals." You can just feel the joy welling up in John. Why would he be so joyful? He knows what's coming. You know, when you wrap your presents at Christmas time and you put them under the tree, isn't it a joy to know what you're giving your loved one and they don't even know yet? Unless they're sneaky, right? And they look into everything or peek open the packages or check your Amazon list of what you just bought. But it's such a good feeling, that joy of giving, that joy of knowing what's coming and the other people don't. That's John here. He knows what's coming. And in fact, the very next verse, two verses after the section we read today, is when Jesus shows up. And John says, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Joyful. You know, we can be the same. We can be joyful as well. We don't have a lot of guarantees in life, but in Christ we know things for certain. And it's knowing that Jesus is about to arrive on the scene that gave John joy. It's the knowing Jesus that gives us joy. We read in Isaiah, and we don't have to wait and wait and wait for 700 years for this to happen. We already know it has. And that is because he has come. And that is being joyful. With 1 week left before Christmas, we're heavy in the getting ready mode. Maybe you're having company and you're going to have people staying at your house, maybe family or friends. And it can be overwhelming getting everything ready, getting the food planned, getting your beds made and all that. But when you know that someone is coming that you love and you want to be with, it makes that preparation a lot easier because you know, wow, I get to spend time with my family, and that's a wonderful thing. As I said with the kids, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is kind of a fleeting feeling. We can't really be happy and sad at the same time, but we can be sad and joyful. We can't be happy and go through the most difficult thing of our life, but in an amazing way, we can be joyful, even in trials, even when life is extremely challenging. Because joy exudes from a deeper place. It centers in knowing. It's knowing that Jesus is here, knowing that he's in our lives. And there's confidence in the promises that we can trust of him coming. So just to recap what I've tried to share with you today. First, the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God. And that awareness changes everything because we're made to create. To do what you are made to do is a joy. Handel created the masterpiece, Messiah. John prepared the way of Jesus and he embraced his role. He personalized it. Remember Isaiah said, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And John personalized it and said, who are you? I am the voice. I am the voice crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. John isn't the only one full of joy. It's rubbing up off on us too, I hope. We don't have a lot of guarantees in life, but in Christ we know for certain. And it's knowing that Jesus is about to arrive on the scene that gave John joy, that gives us joy. And we see another way of looking at what Jesus said today, and we read the words of Isaiah. Jesus revealed not only his ministry, but really he revealed our ministry as well. Think about it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You could read that for yourself. Of course, Jesus did it all. But aspects of what Jesus is doing here and will do is the marching orders of us as Christians. It's what we are called to do and to be his hands and feet in the world. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. In your baptism, you are anointed. You're given gifts. You're given the Holy Spirit. Anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. To do what? Well, your mission is assigned by God. And no one would take it upon himself without the divine call that goes with the equipment of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God personally present and active in his appointed agents, and that's you and me. No task is ever given without the supply of wisdom and the power to discharge it. You know, ignorance and forgetfulness of her divine force is the church's and Christians' most hampering weakness. We forget that God is in us and working through us. There's an arch, I understand, in an old Saxon church in England. And it's a hand that's reaching up into the heavens. And above the hand is the word God. God lays upon them, they can be confident of the abilities that through him you can accomplish it. Why? Because Jesus died and Jesus rose from the dead and he sent the Holy Spirit to work in and through you and me. So friends, we can be joyful in our calling, in our life, in our forgiveness, in our anticipation of Jesus coming at Christmas and of him coming again. So Lord, so let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the incredible gift of your Holy Spirit that fills us and gives us not only comfort and hope, but gives us a ministry to encourage people who are beat down, to pray for those who are grieving, to walk alongside those who are struggling. Lord, to be people of justice, to break those people out of prison that are wrongly accused. Lord, we pray that you would bind up the brokenhearted and that your good news would be proclaimed to all of us this Christmas, and that we would be able to share that good news with our family and friends and all those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.